Hello and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for joining me today on this beautiful March 8th day of the year 2025. And there's always so much to cover, and I always try to do my best to fit everything that I'd like to cover in the hour that we have together. And I tend to speak of topics that are relative to individuals that may mention topics or subjects that they'd like me to speak about. And for today's show, I would like to kind of cover a bit about surrendering, a bit about self-forgiveness, a bit about self-compassion, and also working with your angels. And so there's always a time that feels challenging throughout our journey here on this planet Earth. However, when we are met with certain challenges, we grow, and we can take these opportunities to grow, transmute, integrate, and continuously integrate. And then we transcend. So essentially, when we're in the state of our awareness, which is our inherent knowledge within, and our unconscious, our shadow selves, our higher conscious, our Christ consciousness, Buddha consciousness, there comes a time in which we want to go inward and we go into the inner framework of our soul's constitution. And right now we're in a Pisces new moon, and we're also in some retrogrades in Venus. And whether or not one subscribes to the notion of astrology, there's so much that cannot be denounced or denied when there's a bit of a culmination of everything happening all at once. And then you see what's congruent, you see the parallelisms that are ongoing. And so I'll just speak about that for just a little moment here, because it does relate to these topics. Because while we're in the Pisces new moon, it essentially goes into the deeper realms. You think of Pisces, the Piscean way, the god Neptune, the ocean. And so you go into the deeper layers and the abyss of our emotional realm, and also our memories and our wounds. And we go into the journey, the happy, joyful experiences, places of, let's say, serenity, victory, success, abundance in friends, family, health, love, all of the above. Then we also go into the deeper, deeper waters that consist of the pain and the sorrow and the regrets, and also the self-inflicted guilt. And whether it's been a matter of that one has been shamed by others, or one has adapted to that shame and then continued on a perpetual cycle of self-inflicted shame and shaming over, and shaming oneself is essentially when you blame yourself, you take this notion of self-induced emotional catastrophizing of that it's all my fault, nothing I could have done, you know, was good enough, I should have done this, I shouldn't have done that. And this is in the realms of no heinous crime. We're speaking of events and occurrences that can happen to any one of us that are a contributing member of society that is just trying to do the right thing. So let's say, for example, if it's something that you feel this regret, let you just didn't get to say goodbye the right way to a friend that passed away. It's not your fault. You did everything you could while you were their friend on planet Earth, and they were your friend on planet Earth. Or if a parent or an animal or a neighbor, and you just didn't know, and you just knew that you should say more, but you couldn't at the time, but you said enough. I'm speaking on terms of that type of substance of thought and inner reflection. When we go into the inner realms of when we feel guilt, And when is it time to forgive ourselves? Because in those scenarios or similar scenarios, or even feeling guilty for saying no to someone who asked you for something that you weren't able to do and you were not able to provide at that time. So there would be guilt. Let's say if you have 100 apples and someone asks you for one apple because they're hungry, and then you were left with 99 apples with a more sufficient amount, and this person doesn't always ask you for an apple every week. So essentially, there's going to be that notion of how do we provide to others? How do we provide back to ourselves? And then in the same framework of that, when do we feel guilty? When should we not feel guilty if we're not allowing our boundaries to be upheld? So there's a lot of different variations of guilt. And then, of course, when something is a definite wrongdoing, that's a different topic, a different circumstance, but that can apply as well. But if there's something that has been a transgression that has been caused upon you and you're feeling the shame and guilt for it, then how do you undo? How do you uncreate that? So in essence, the feeling of going within and seeking self-forgiveness and letting go, letting loose of that horrific emotion that was out of your control, let's say, or letting go of if someone made you feel guilty for when you said no because you only had one apple and they asked you for your only apple and you couldn't give that apple away because you only had one. You didn't have endless and abundance amounts of it, right? So you kind of get my analogies with this. So when we go into the deeper recesses of what pains us, what causes us conflict, what causes us this confusion inside and within, we go to the outer realms externally. What gives us the sustenance to proceed? What continues with our path? And what should we leave behind? What should we make amends with for the self in the unconscious, in our wounded aspects, so we can transcend and make room for new opportunities and transcend those blockages that we ourselves can be our own worst enemy at times? And so there are variables to consider when we look within, and there are a great deal of elements that we can truly ascertain and notice. Well, what good would that do me to hold on to this? What good does it do me to hold on to this shame that does not belong to me? I did nothing wrong, right? And if you go in that place, and sometimes we like to kind of hold on to that guilt, especially if you're a good person or if you're empathic, you're highly sensitive, and you just want to do the best. You just want to give your all in this world to everyone you love. It's extraordinarily normal to hold on and not be able to let go. It's actually far more easier to hold on than it is to let go if you are in the realm of that spectrum of a highly sensitive, empathic, sensitive, and kind and compassionate person, because you feel more than the average person. And so when you feel more and you are wired in that proclivity towards sensations and emotions, even more so, then of course you're going to feel what contracts and what resists when you do go into a state of this perpetual motion of working on letting go. And it's not so easy. But this is a good time, though, to go into self-reflection and to go within and go into that place of, let's say, cognizant. Like if you go into like a cognizant element where you're really thinking and doing self-dialogue, inner dialogue, external dialogue, if you're journaling, if you're writing it out, if you're just speaking it into existence, and you're really viewing within. You're looking in the skeletons in the closet that aren't really skeletons, but they're your skeletons. They're our skeletons. And our skeletons always seem scarier to us than they do to the outside world. Many times other people might say, wow, that's what you're really worried about. That's what's really disturbing you. And there's so much when it's in the framework of what's pertinent to you, what relatively matters to you. What might matter so much to you might not be the same for another. And that's why it's your own journey. So you have the right to your feelings, but you also have the right to give yourself and grant yourself permission to allow yourself to begin to heal from whatever was shamed upon you, whatever was projected upon you. If you've been victimized verbally or spiritually by someone, then it's time to get your power back and take your time with it. It's a gentle process and it doesn't happen overnight. But sometimes just going within and allowing yourself to have that allowance, what's permissible to the self, what do you grant towards yourself in those elements, in those circumstances, to where you can truly self-identify and really work on what matters most to you. And sometimes there's like a starting point, and one may often ask, well, where do I start? There's so much to examine, so much to analyze, right? And in that analysis, you're going to see a lot of murky elements. You're going to see a lot of very clear, very refined elements. And there's also going to be some things that are just so a bit frightening to look at and even embarrassing at times, right? So this is a place where you really want to assert your self-compassion, which is one of the themes of the Pisces new moon, is self-compassion. So when we have our self-compassion, which if you go into, like, everyone knows about Louise L. Hay, right? An amazing author, and about you can heal your life and the power is within you and the power of self-love. So those are remarkable books. She is a remarkable human being that was here on planet Earth for quite a long time. And when you really apply that, she speaks about mirror work and various other topics, but that's self-love. And if you look at all the gurus and the sages, and if you look at Jesus Christ and Siddhartha, Buddha, and Eastern, Western thought, so much of the premise of their belief system is to love, self-love. Love is a supernatural power. And if you look at, you know, even A Course in Miracles, right? Only love is real. And so that's also excerpts taken. Sometimes we can say what's biblically, what Jesus Christ himself has said, what the prophets have said, what Buddha has said, and so on, right? But if you really look at the universal language of that, self-love, love in itself, what is synonymous with it? Compassion and self-compassion. And what is synonymous with those two grouped together? When you apply the coupling of self-love and compassion, there's a great deal of empathy. So those of you that have empathy for every living being and every living thing, when it comes to yourself, it might be hard to have your own self-directed compassion. And so that's why it's a key fundamental attribute to really aspire towards. The more and more that you are living on planet Earth, the more and more experiences that go by and that you tend to experience and learn, and in the journey, what you see, what's befitting for you and what is not befitting, and what's congruent or incongruent, what serves you, what doesn't serve you. And you recognize, this is a feeling that I would love to behold more so than not, the feeling of self-love, the feeling of redirecting compassion back towards the self, and also being imbued in that full soul, highest embodiment of empathy, right? So how do you create like a full, wholesome approach to grasp? And in the rational mind, sometimes it can be a bit jarring to see so much. And then in the metaphysical mind, in the higher consciousness stream, there's this knowing that yes, you can. And the rational mind is conditioned at times to go and live with the survival mentality, the fear-based negative separative ego at times. And so how do you transcend that? And yes, prayer, meditation, and positive and prayerful mantras, and the notion of conscious reconditioning, rewiring the neural pathways by instilling, yes, I can, and I forgive myself, I love myself, I'm sending myself compassion. And those sound very simple, yet they're very powerful. And so when we're in that quicksand of emotions at times, it can be as if we're going through these transits where everything's happening at once and everything is full speed, full throttle, and you can't get a moment to just take a break, to take a rest, to take a pause, and take a very necessary reprieve for the soul, for the mind, for the body, the heart. And much occurs when we're able to take that rest. Much occurs when we're able to take that few moments out of the day. Some people do it for an hour. Some people do it for 3 hours. Some people do it 24 hours. Some people do this for months and months and even years, right? So, and I'm certainly just speaking in the normal aspect of what works for you. Not all of us are going to live in an ashram or be able to dedicate our full life to living in a monastery, right? And sometimes that perfectionist within that says, oh, well, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to pray, if I'm going to meditate, if I'm going to take up a spiritual practice, I'm going to have to do all or nothing. And that's where I lovingly step in and I state that it can just be 3 minutes a day. It can just be an introductory to it. It can be at your pace. And often, many of you who have already done this type of work and you're very advanced or you're very much in the novice or in the amateur introductory phrases of these relative notions here that are in that phase of where you just don't know where to start and you're trying things out, you're experimenting. Well, that's the first step. That is the essential first step that is so critical to achieve, right? So was it Lao Tzu that said, I believe, the step of a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I'm paraphrasing, forgive me. But there's so much truth in that, because if you do take those actions and you just take one step, you start. That's essentially starting. And then after you begin, and then it becomes a bit more of a habit. And some say 7 days, 2 weeks, 21 days to make a habit. That's where the conscious reconditioning comes in, because biochemically, neurochemically, the chemistry in our brain, the neural pathways, they start to strengthen like muscle memory. So if you start to express to yourself, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And you start to believe it. And typically what normal events occur within the self is because of family, society, or lack of support, or anything for that matter, or a personal traumatic experience. Well, one can easily go into the mindset of, no, I can't, it's not going to work for me, I hate myself, I'm the worst, all I do is fail, I'll never win, I'm just too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that. It's all the inner excuses, right? And yeah, everything that may have happened to you, it's a fair assessment of why you would feel that way. And I'm certainly not diminishing or minimizing that thought. Yet just going into the place of, if you go from, wow, I just hate myself so much, I just let everyone down all the time. And you replace that with, you know, I really like myself. I can do this. I can succeed and I can make myself happy. And then you can also go from, I'm so disappointing to other people. And then you go into, I'm actually not disappointing to other people. I'm actually a ray of light for others. And I'm a shining beacon of light. People, I welcome people in my life that I can be a support for, right? However it goes. But you see the direction in which this is going, where if we think, oh, we just can't pick up that guitar, it's too late for us. But if we say, I can pick up that guitar, it's not too late for me. Guess what happens after 21 days? Guess what happens after 3 months, after 6 months, after a year? So you could spend a whole year of your life thinking you can't, in which you can't, because whether you're wrong or you're right, whatever you think, you're right. So whatever you think you are, if you think you're wrong, you're right. If you think you're right, you're right. And so in those mindset, if there's an attitudinal adjustment of, yes, I can, I'm going to try, I'm going to do, that's when the momentum starts to kick in. And you actually start to see the results. There might be more of a divine spark within yourself when you see yourself in the mirror. You might see or feel this life force that's just illuminated even more so brightly. There's so much to consider with that, and so much that can be gained with that reintroduction to the self, that reintroduction to what you can provide to yourself and also to the world, your friends, your family, your colleagues, right? And so if you go within and you just simply state that I deserve to love myself, I deserve to receive abundance, I deserve to receive that new job, I deserve to forgive myself because what I did was not a crime, right? So simple things like that, even if it's the same topic and you just say it over and over, you start to believe it and you start to walk in it. You start to embody that. And then you start to also see the physical effects, where the physical body manifests so much of the emotions and our spiritual energy and frequencies and vibrations. And if we just touch upon again Dr. Masaru Emoto, The Secret Language of Water, just take a look into that. I'm sure you've heard of it. If you're listening to the show, most likely you're aware. But Dr. Masaru Emoto is a beautiful Japanese doctor scientist who really did groundbreaking work on the secret language of water and the frequencies and the vibrations. So if you were to sing or play Ave Maria to water, the water would actually retain the memory of that glorious vibration of singing praise of Ave Maria, and it would create the most beautiful, and the water molecules would retain that. But if you say negative or harsh things to the water would reflect the same. So if you say, I love you to the water would thereby respond in a beautiful application of mirroring whatever the facilitator, whatever the beholder, whatever the host of the water would entail. So if we think about it, we're comprised of the majority water, right? We're over 70% water, and much of our water supply has been tainted with fluoride. It's calcified our pineal gland, and that's been done by design. And our pineal gland connects us to our higher wisdom through God, through whatever your belief system is, but God put it there for a reason. And if you look symbolically, our pineal gland is a pine cone, pineal, pine, right? But if you look at ancient civilizations, even in the Vatican, dark Vatican, positive Vatican, whatever you say about that, but there's pine cone symbology all over. If you look at Mesoamerica, if you look at the ancient Aztecs, the ancient Egyptians, the Incas, there's pine cones everywhere. And I'll get into that more in another show, another transmission. I'll get into that and do a deeper dive and share with you. And in essence, though, when our water supply is filled with fluoride and also chemicals from medications and so many other things, of course, our pineal gland is going to become more and more calcified. So decalcifying the pineal gland is paramount. It's essentially imperative, though, to really look into spring water, working on decalcifying your pineal gland, because when there is fluoride apparent and astaxanthin, there's a lot that affects our hormones, and it's not a conspiracy, it's true. And so having filtrated water, that's one aspect, spring water, mountain spring water. But here's the additional piece, that when you are drinking water and when you're thinking of the water, the energies of the water, just like when you love yourself, just like when you forgive yourself, just like when you send yourself self-directed compassion, just like when you give yourself positive reinforcement, that is essentially the mirror work within. When your body is comprised of the water, and then when you also consume the water, just imagine. So if you're just filling yourself up, separate from the chemicals, right? But I'm just speaking of how sensitive water can be. But you're looking at how you essentially give yourself positivity, or you detract from that positivity by adding extra elements of self-hatred, right? Or self-depreciating thoughts. And we've all been there. So this is not shaming anyone for having those feelings of shame. Yet it's just bringing to light that we have to be really cautious what we do think, because what we think we become, and also what we drink we thereby also become. So looking at the frequency of water, then the frequency of our cells and the frequency of our auric field, the more that you resonate on a higher frequency, of course. And you were going to hear a lot of people saying, oh, high vibration, higher frequency. Those are very common terms that we've all heard, especially in the spiritual community. And how do you raise your vibration? How do you raise your frequency? Well, you're going to notice that the more that you posit those unconscious and higher conscious beliefs of going in that invitation to that freedom and your self-will to express to the self, yes, I can. I'm not a failure. I'm successful. People love me. I can and I will do this. And whether that goal is to learn how to cook, pick up a book and finish it, finish an assignment, do a big presentation for work, or get that new job, or, you know, find that perfect place for you and your family, whatever it might be. There's a great deal to the positive power of thought. And so when you pray, of course, and when you meditate, of course, and you do yoga, and when you do other forms of exercise, of course, yes, it can raise your vibration. And if you ground yourself as well, it can balance that out and raise the vibration even further. So, but you really need to remind yourself that, yes, you can. And so part of yes, you can, and you can accomplish that, is accepting that innocence within the self, that yes, you're an innocent, pure being here on planet Earth. And there's a humility upon us as human beings where none of us are perfect, yet we want to be perfect. We want to do everything we can in a perfect method and order, first, second, third, fourth, fifth order, and higher, right? And sometimes we feel in our ego mind that it's so hard to do self-acceptance. And so we punish ourselves. And when we're a punished person, we're no longer innocent, right? Trial by jury. No, it's like you're guilty until proven innocent, right? And so essentially that might vary with different views. For some people, their reality could be a little different, of course, but in that perspective, though, that I'm speaking of, that it can be very challenging to feel innately loved and also thereby innately forgiven for just having a human experience. And so sometimes we have these perceived mistakes and we hold on to them, and or sin, and then the suffering that comes along with the sin and so forth. And then there's the karmic underlaying and quantum entanglements and so much of that. Yet there's only natural consequences, though, from following the divine order that applies to yourself. And in that divinity of the self, when you follow that divine order of self-love and self-directed compassion, and also some forgiveness there that's much needed to let go and let loose of what has burdened you, what has pained you. So then you take on accountability, and also there's a justice that occurs in the celestial council of all living, breathing things. And in that, which is in accordance with us humans, there's our justice, and that's our karmic field. That's also our own inner justice, where we might be the ones that are throwing ourselves in the, let's say, proverbial dungeon and throwing away the keys. Or maybe it's someone that is projecting upon you, or that is inflicting that upon you in a persecution triangle aspect. So identifying that true love for yourself, it is eternally flowing. It is ever present. And that is one of the main keys to find the key once again, to unlock yourself from those prisons in which we go into, because we can have amnesia very easily when it comes to remembering the good things that we've done, right? Sometimes we can forget that, oh, wow, don't you remember the time that you helped your friend and you actually did X, Y, and Z for that friend? And don't you remember the time you saved an animal? Don't you remember that time you helped that elderly person or that disabled veteran or that disabled homeless person, whatever it might be? But no, we always think about our own narratives in which we thought we failed. And if we did fail, how do we come back from that failure? But most of the time, it's a need to transcend the guilt and the judgment. And oftentimes, how do we break free from those shackles and chains to really perpetuate that freedom to create that happiness and that relief within the self. And so I did say that I was going to speak more upon that forgiveness and compassion. So when we are applying that, let's say, acknowledgement of something that we want to let go of, right? And then how do we apply the compassion within? There's so many ways and modalities, of course, yet when you think about what has pained you, and if you want to seek clarity, clarity sometimes can be one of the most enlightening things, but how do you get to the clarity? Sometimes it's so murky, like I was saying earlier. It's a quicksand effect. And so in that quicksand, it is essentially one of the most prevalent stopholds with being unable to get out. Where do you want to get out? If someone lends you a very strong He-Man hand and She-Ra hand, right? Or the biggest rope that you could ever grasp, the strongest rope. Sometimes people want to stay in that quicksand because there's a martyrdom aspect or a self-induced suffrage that they want to hold on to. I'm not saying this happens to everybody, but it does happen. People have asked me about this. And so how do you go into the implementation of that compassion? Well, innately loving yourself, innately forgiving yourself, and also in that looking at what it is that you really would love to let go. What would be priceless to you if you could let go of one feeling? And it doesn't have to be the top thing. It could be something that's at the tip of the iceberg, essentially. And then it kind of prepares you almost as an exposure, so to speak, to getting more muscle memory and getting accustomed to the feeling of what does it feel like to let go of something that you think you did wrong. And that could be something so simple as if you borrowed a Crayola crayon, you forgot to put it back in the box under the right category of blue. I'm just giving a very simple baby step analogy there, okay? So that's weighing on you. You feel so bad. And that's not just obsessive compulsive disorder. I'm speaking literally just in a baby step. Okay. So that's plaguing you. It's bothering you. But it's not the worst thing. You know, perhaps like you're an interior designer and you accidentally bought the wrong chandelier for the wrong house and the wrong client, and it was a fortune, and now your client's really mad, and you realize that you might not have been paying attention, and you bought the wrong chandelier, and now you can't get a refund. Okay, that's on the second tier of, wow, like an honest mistake, it just happened, and things happen, but wow, you can't forgive yourself, because now your name, and you made a mistake, and the clients are on a time deadline, and you failed them, and you messed up two projects at once. I mean, these things happen all the time, right? So you start from the crayon and then you go to the chandelier. You work on those things little by little and then you get to the big one. And everyone has a big one or a few big ones, right? As long as we're alive here on planet Earth, we're all going to have a lot of big ones. And we're going to have many little minute ones and mediocre ones. But the beauty of it is that you're not alone. This is when you want to, if you would like, you call on your guardian angels, your spirit guides. And sometimes it can be very jarring to live here on planet Earth, regardless of your religious beliefs, dogmatic beliefs, your spiritual insights, whatever it may be. Living on planet Earth is a school, essentially. And there's so much to learn, so much to give. But we're not here alone. So God, Jesus, Mother Mary, Buddha, Ganesh, the archangels, the dominions, the virtues, the cherubs, the archangels, the saints, the spirit guides, the galactic kingdom, the watchers, whatever and all of the above, whatever works for the person, because we are not alone in this universe. We are not alone. If you look at all the planets and you look at all of the anomalies that are ongoing and occurring here on planet Earth, always remember that allow your free will to supersede above all else. Because when you're inviting in a higher perspective from a higher power, and even if that higher power is yourself, your soul's fullest, highest embodiment, your highest self, right? That knows nothing that is of intrepidness, that knows nothing that there's this full intrepidness that nothing can provoke fear, right? That nothing can take away in the abstract and remove essentially that confidence. So you can truly look to your higher self, of course, but go into that place of the judgment and the self-judgment. And angels, and the highest order of angels and spirit guides, never judge us, and they're always there for us, and they love to help. And so when you're going through matters of the human condition, you want to just remember that you can call upon God, of course, you can call upon your angels, but angels are literally messengers that are sent to us to be here for us, and also for animal kingdom, our children, and even for certain advocacies as well, that there is no end to what the angelic realm can do and provide when we ask nicely. And also too, if even if it seems small, it's still an ask. And if it is God's will, if it is the universal will, to make or help to co-create something to be set in to carry out that prayer, to carry out that miracle, to carry out that wish, then so be it. Thy will be done, right? So thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and so much of that. So if you want to ask your guardian angels to help you with any guilt or any of the shame or any of the problems, along with God, Jesus, Buddha, etc., etc., they're here for us, and they come in all different forms, and some of us can see them, some of us can hear them, some of us can feel them, some of us can hear, see, and feel them, and some of us can't see or hear or feel them at all, but we know they're there. And some of us don't know if they're around or not. And so for those of you that aren't aware, you are skeptical of where are your angels, where are your spirit guides, which is a common question. So many people express that. Well, where are they? Where's God? Where are my angels? And sometimes people say, I try so hard. I pray, I meditate, and I'm not hearing my angels. I'm not hearing God. Well, sometimes there's an inner block within the self that can occur because there's a fear of seeing, and there's no shame in that. There's also a fear of hearing, but that's when surrender comes in. So when you do surrender that fear, and you can ask your highest self that is fully intrepid, without fear at all, and say, let's see if you can see or hear or feel my angels. And that's a good way to just try to start with that if there's a block. But those of you who are actively engaging with God and your angels all the time, then it's like a practice where you just go in perpetual motion of practice and you go through an evolution of thought, and then it becomes deeper and deeper. And sometimes there's a pause. Sometimes people go very deep and then there's like a plateau, and that's okay. And so that happens. But for those that are feeling a bit stuck, that, wow, I used to have a vision, now I don't, It's still there. It's just more of like regaining your center and grounding in your focus again. And the attention to that divinity and surrendering again, just to surrender, where the more pressure, what you resist persists, right? And so, and I believe Murphy's Law, what goes up must come down. So there's an order to everything, the Hermetic dictum, right? As above, so below, as within, so without. So everything has its order and balance, rightfully so, yin and yang. So just like sometimes if you need that reminder that you're not alone, you might just quiet that still voice in your mind and allow the higher still voice to enter and express, yes, I'm here. And sometimes that's all you need to reignite. And sometimes there's a lot of people who have a later onset of their angelic visitations where it happens when they least expect it, when they thought that they were at the twilight of their life, and suddenly the most pleasant surprise occurs. And so this world, this life, this earth, this plane of existence, you just never know what you're going to experience that's favorable. And there's always so much focus and emphasis on what can go wrong, especially with all the tragedies that many of us incur in this living experience. But in the trajectory of our full scale of our life, and in addition to the accessories of our life, we can truly make the most of it, regardless of what we've been through. And we focus on that today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Today is essentially a brand new day. And that at times can be very hard for many to feel and process. I understand that. But there will be a day where you'll be ready to hear that without resistance. You'll be able to hear that with being able to transcend with it, to integrate with that lovingly, and to accept it. And remember, there's no pressure. The more pressure that we place upon ourselves for things, if I pressure myself that, oh, I can't hear the angels yet, and I'm pressuring myself. I can't play the guitar yet, and I'm pressuring myself. That pressure doesn't work. It creates a contrast, and things expand and contract. And then it kind of inadvertently, spontaneously can combust if there's too much pressure when it's not ready. And then one may ask, well, when is it ever ready? Well, you'll know the divine time. Some people might say, well, I'll never be ready. And then that's when, if you just start, you can start without the pressure. Just starting with a baby step, like I was speaking, that Crayola box with the blue crayon that went into the orange or magenta side instead of the blue category of the shades of blue. Start with that. There's no pressure. That's something very simple. And you just start there. And you sit with that for a while, and that's okay. And then you see how that feels. And so, working with your angels and the divine law of supply, there's a great deal that can manifest for you when you do go into the deeper realms of working with your highest self, with a higher power, with God, with your angelic realm, with your guardian angel realm. And you really see the divinity all around you. And it just starts to grow and grow. And it sequentially grow further, and then you start to feel more comfortable with asking. And it's never too much to ask, and it's never too late to ask. And that is essentially the key to that self-love. And that's essentially the key to that self-directed compassion. And when you have the keys, that even if you've thrown away the keys in the proverbial dungeon to yourself, and you transcend that guilt, you transcend that judgment, even the things that have felt so overwhelming to confront. Well, when you decide in this exact moment to just be more loving with yourself, just be even on a microcosm scale of being more forgiving with yourself, being kinder to yourself, that's a start. You don't need to go full throttle. You can just start with that. And so you want to just invite and let the burden just diminish piece by piece, layer by layer, but just learn to invite that self-love and learn to invite that inner compassion, that forgiveness, and also that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to speak to God, your higher powers, and your angelic realm, because they are so available. They're here for us, no matter what, with only love and non-judgment. And so, before the show concludes for today, just reminding everyone that take advantage of this particular new moon in Pisces and the transits and the retrogrades in Venus, of course, because all of this is serious when it comes to the self-love. It is so opportune to just truly let yourself envelop in these constructs, these modalities of meditation, prayer, affirming, asserting, mirror work, self-love, and also be conscious. You know, when you do drink your water, drink enough of it, make sure it's filtered and it's the best that you can get. But you do want to think loving and positive thoughts when you're drinking that water. You want to think loving thoughts because it is a reflection in the biomolecular system, and the molecules have memory, and raising your frequency one by one, piece by piece, is essential key for just a starting point. And so I appreciate all of you for your continued support and being a subscriber to the Beyond Earth show. And I'm always grateful to be here every 2 weeks with all of you. And I am very grateful. And it's always just such an honor to be here. And I wish all of you a very lovely rest of your weekend. And think about all of the topics. If you feel a moment of weakness or vulnerability, just take a moment. Just think about anything I said that was really resonant with you and apply it accordingly with gentleness and ease. And please know that you're never alone, and God and your angels are always with you and your highest self. And so thank you all of you again for being here with me today on this March 8th, 2025's transmission. And this is your host, Ray Trujillo of the Beyond Earth Show. And I will be back with you in 2 weeks' time. And I hope you all have a wonderful remaining rest of your weekend. Thank you. Bye.